Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 151. It's Thursday night, so we'll have a little Fab preview for you at the end of the show. We'll talk some news and notes as usual, and we'll continue on the first half positional recaps, looking at end of draft ADP versus Fangraphs player rater. We did catchers, first base, third base last week. We'll hit second base and shortstop this week. Next week, we'll continue on with that. So we'll get you a little bit of everything today as we head into the All-Star break. Before we get to all that, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bluefield, how are we doing, my friend?
We're doing great, man. Good Thursday of baseball. Got to actually watch a fair bit of games today. Got to watch the pitcher's duel between two of the best in the game, really. Paul Skeens and Aaron Cy Savali go 1-0.
It took you less than a minute to throw that one out there. Well done.
He's back.
He's back. What start?
He didn't, and it was against Pittsburgh. So
he shut down one of the hottest hitters in baseball. So it's okay.
He did. That game was awesome though. The Paul Skeens. I want to say drama around the no hitter, but I think everyone kind of knew Skeens wasn't gonna go the distance given the pitch count. I think he was at 99 pitches through seven. So whatever, would have been cool, but that's baseball nowadays. As I sound like an old already.
Yeah, it is, and it's one of those I've been noticing more and more doing, you know, the daily content, and there's certain pitchers, just, you know, all this, like we talked about the Yariel Rodriguez. I think he's a great example. Everyone's excited. Hey, he went six innings, back-to-back starts. Well, he still only threw like 85 pitches. So it's some teams go with like an innings. Some teams go with pitches. It's all over the board. But like you said, that's the era of baseball we live in. And that's kind of what we've seen. We only have a handful of guys that are just taking the ball until they say no. That's just pretty much where it goes these days. Nolan Ryan is a figment of everyone's imagination at this point in time. But all right. One other thing I'll mention, we will recap next week because we'll have without any real action early on. We'll do a little recap and dive into the listener leagues. So we will have that for you guys next week as well. So we'll have an update on that. We updated a few weeks ago. We'll get you guys probably on Tuesday since we'll actually have a full Fab on Thursday. We'll get you guys on Tuesday. Talk about that when we hit up the outfield and whatnot.
Yeah, I did the it's the same script and everything that does the CBS riders that we'll do tonight. But looked at the schedule grid that I do, and it was just empty with TBDs and every team playing three games. I think that's actually two teams that play two games coming off the break, but just didn't seem like it's too early to look at schedules for next week. So we'll do that again. We'll go back into that mode next Thursday, but got really good feedback from people on our catcher, first base, third base, mid-year recap episode Tuesday. So we're going back to that well tonight, man.
Yes, let's do it. It should be a fun one. Before we get to that well, though, let's talk about some news and notes real quick. Cody Bellinger to the IL with a broken finger. Got hit in the hand by a pitch on Wednesday evening. Alexander Canario gets recalled from AAA to take his spot in the outfield. Bellinger's disappointed. We kind of hinted at that, I think, on the first base one, even though he's outfielder now, but he's eligible both. It's been a rough go for belly bombs this year, and now he hits to the IL, and, you know, broken fingers, there's no exact timetable for that because you just need your finger to heal, and we've seen how that's gone for some other players, like mainly Cardinals this year with healing. So I'm not wishing a CES situation, but we saw how that went as well. So there's a lot of situations here when it comes to belly bombs. So what's your thoughts on this? Because I actually had someone message me in a 12 team, I think it was, about would you drop Bellinger for, it was a decent outfield, like, but it wasn't, I was like Burleson or something. Would you do something like that right now with this injury?
I would. Yeah, I would. I mean, honestly, like Alec Burleson has been better straight up than Cody Bellinger this year. So like it's been belly bombs, what you call them. That's a good one. I like that. Yep. Predictably falling back from what we had in 2023. I think everyone kind of saw that coming just because the power wasn't supportive of like the 26 home runs that Bellinger hit last year, but average is way down, 269, just the 9 homers. And for me, it was the lack of stolen bases for Cody Bellinger. Stole 20 last year and then just 5 this year. He was part of that kind of Chicago Cubs team wide slowdown. So bad news for Belly for sure. I guess it's what, PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong?
Yeah, he's been getting a lot of reps anyways, but yeah, it'll be the PCA season right now.
I don't I don't know if they'll platoon him against lefties, but we'll see. Either way, we've both kind of said the last few episodes that we're kind of off the Pete Crow Armstrong train for fantasy, at least for this season. We're just not seeing enough of the hit tool and the power, despite some stolen bases for PCA.
And real quick, not to go down a rabbit hole, but Seiya Suzuki's hitting again. It's been really nice. Just talking Cubs. He's
and even again. And even through my attempted jinx of the oblique injury last episode. So yes, Seiya Suzuki is hitting. Ian Happ's been on fire. Justin Steele now has two wins in a row.
Yep, seventh shutout versus the O's.
Yep.
At Baltimore. Shota's back. Sixth shutout yesterday versus the O's. Yeah.
Cubs are. I want to say they're surging. Doing there's still some issues with the bullpen, but just cool to see Justin Steele not get a win at all, and then through his first 10 starts, and then two in a row in his last two. What's up to James in the chat? Yeah. James is I think new to the chat, so he says Steele has the best ERA out of all starters in the last 2 years. That's a crazy stat. I like that one.
That's outstanding. That's big boy stuff right there. Next bit of news here, we got Bobby Miller going to Triple A. Like I think this is the right move, though. I'll say that much, just because the kid's lost since coming off the IL. He can go down there during the break, get probably two starts at least, work with pitching coaches while the teams are on their break, kind of work on things. They said he's going to make likely at least two starts at Triple A before coming back. And that just assumes he figures it out there. Because let's not forget, he wasn't really dominating in rehab either before he came back. He had a couple setbacks that prevented him from coming back when they thought he would type situations. But over the last four starts since coming off the IL, this is I wrote this up last night. Like it was in my news column. And I'll just say it to the listeners here. He's made four starts, okay? And he's allowed 19 earned runs and 17 and a third. 5 homers, 12 walks, 9 strikeouts. That's not good. 9 of the runs came in the last start versus Philadelphia, but still, it's at least 3 walks in every start, and that concerns me right out the gate.
And it's the double whammy, just looking if, like, is he hurt? Is something wrong here? It's a double whammy of lower velocity. Lower, I guess, put in quotes, because it's from 99 miles an hour fastball last year to 97.5. This year, that's still, you know, 1.5 mph, but it's that and just the complete loss of control. Bobby Miller is a 14% walk rate this year.
It's brutal. It's brutal.
It's, I don't know. Usually when you throw not as fast and you lose control, like something's going on. It's not just a mechanical tweak. So I'm worried. I feel like the Dodgers are doing the right thing. This is the time to send Bobby Miller down and see if they can get him right. But it's, I mean, for someone who was going in, the fourth, fifth round at 15 teamers, I want to say, it's got to be one of the toughest starting pitcher buys of this year. So, like, I'd rather have taken, never mind. Scratch it.
I'm curious who you would have said now.
I was going to say, I was halfway through. I was going to say, I'd rather have taken Strider. Like, I'd rather have just someone not pitch at all.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, and like, because you stash Bobby Miller for a while and then you're getting an 8 ERA. Strider is not the best comp because that's a first round pick versus a fourth, fifth round pick, but it's the pitchers that you hold on to, waste the roster spot on, and then they come back and do Bobby Miller things. It's kind of
it's frustrating. This doesn't need a lot of discussion, but I just want to let listeners know, when Zach Wheeler left his last start with his back tightness because he sat on the bench too long while Bobby Miller was giving up 9 runs to the Phillies, he had an MRI, came back clean, but on Thursday the Phillies announced Wheeler will not throw this weekend. He will get the rest of the break off before returning to the Phillies rotation. So if you're in weekly leagues, make that adjustment. If not, you've already got stuck with that. And don't plan on Zach Wheeler this weekend.
And I wonder if on Sunday we'll see like bullpen game starts like that.
No, I think we'll get a lot of that. I think we're going to get a lot of that. We're going to get a lot of annoying stuff. It's just the nicest way I can put it. It's going to be frustrating this weekend because you've already seen a lot of moving parts right now. Yep. So we'll see. Tyler Soderstrom was the talk of the town a few weeks ago. I dropped him pretty much everywhere this past week, and now he heads to the IL with a left wrist bone bruise. So he's going to be out for at least 10 games. We'll see if it's any longer than that. Seth Brown was recalled, but I just wanted to bring up Soderstrom because he was said talk of the town. But since June 23rd, pretty much when that was that fab week, everybody wanted to get him because he was just crushing baseballs everywhere. Soderstrom's hitting 152 with 1 home run. Still only a 20% K rate, which is very promising, but some things have fallen backwards. The quality of contact is still good also, but production is not there for Soderstrom. Now he goes to the IL.
Yeah, I've got Soderstrom actually starting him in a draft and hold, and I was looking at live scoring today, and I saw IL next to his name. I was like, what the hell? Did I miss something? And that was how I found out. So, no, I did not miss anything. No, I also don't think, like, Seth Brown is – I mean, that's probably the fill-in at first base. Brown started Thursday night against a righty, so Seth Brown's probably going to play, but, yeah, I don't know. And Tyler and Nevin, maybe. Jeez, remember him?
Nevin might get a resurgence here. What really stands out to me is tells you just how bad Ryan Nota has been at AAA this year.
Yeah, I remember him.
That you figure that would have been the easy, you know, call-up situation. Because I looked at Nota before I did that HQ playing time article and just out of curiosity. And, whew, it ain't good. He's struggle busting really? It big time there. Yeah,
Nota led the majors in OBP for, like, quite a while last year.
Yep, he was an OBP beast, like a Lamont Wade type, and not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. Last bit of news I have, and check in on Friday to see if this has changed at all, but Bo Bichette left Wednesday's game with a calf stiffness, basically, which, you know, earlier in the year forced him on the IL for 10 games. He did not play on Thursday. So keep an eye on that. They might just rest him for the rest of the weekend before the All-Star break, let him heal up. So if you have Bo Bichette in, say, an NFBC where you set your lineups again on Friday, make sure he's in Friday. Because if he's not in Friday, I think he might miss the weekend. That's just my hunch.
Yeah, just a tough year gets tougher. I mean, this is the same injury that put Bichette on the IL, I believe. It was with the IL. And, yeah, it's the same calf. So, I don't know. Something's not right there, which is not good.
Not good at all. But all right, just a little bit of news and notes, nothing too crazy. So, Mr. Bloomfield, why don't you set us up and let us know what we got cooking tonight?
All right, cook these up in the lab, in the basement, my house. We've got the same thing as last time. We've got second base and shortstop tonight. But for those on YouTube and watching, we have a grid of second base by ADP, so by preseason ADP, by main event, which was done in late March. And we have that overlaid and color-coded next to the Fangraphs player rater so far this season. So we've got the overall rank and then rank at the position for second base, and then we'll do shortstop next. But the shortstop one was really interesting. We'll get to that one in a little bit. But second base is – it's bad. It's bad. I put out a tweet earlier today. So it's kind of the same list, but instead of by ADP, I looked at it just by current year value. The top eight second base right now is Jose Altuve. Sure, that's fine. Ketel Marte, number two. Like, Ketel Marte had his believers. But then it's Bryce Terang, Jordan Westberg, Mookie Betts, Jake Cronenworth, Ryan McMahon, and Luis Renjifo is the top eight at second base. Like, that's a pretty wild, like, random list of second basemen. Kind of a rough position so far.
Yeah, and there's a handful of those names you mentioned not even on this list. That tells you where they got drafted, basically, is what I'm trying to get at there. So pretty telling. Like you said, it's top heavy. The first four picks, Betts is fifth, Albies is 14th, Simeon ninth, Altuve first. Like, people are frustrated with Albies, probably because of where you had to pay for Albies, but he's 14th, and as bad as this is, it's probably not the worst thing you can think of, but it also goes to show you the position. I want to pull it up. Heading into Thursday, Albies is hitting .257 with 8 homers and 7 steals. That's good enough for 14th.
For 14th.
That's my point. Like, that's how bad it is, because I have a lot of Albies, and it's one of those, like, I'm not cutting Ozzy Albies because it's Ozzy Albies, but it's not been what you wanted from a second-round pick.
No, not at all. However, like, it, I don't know. It hasn't been like a, and Albies is close enough to where a strong second half and like the end of season will be fine. And then you also have Albies missed some time. So you do have a couple weeks there where you had probably some terrible middle infielder to try and fill that void, but you did have a couple weeks of replacement level value in there. So, I don't know. Yeah, Albies, I would say overall has been a disappointment. I would say Marcus Semien, who was, you know, number three second baseman off the board in March. I'd say that's even bigger bigger disappointment, even though he's ranked higher. Like, things are not trending well for Marcus Semien right now.
No, but I think it's things might be catching up with him. He might be hurt. I don't know what's going on, but it does not look good for Semien. Altuve's been a beast, continues to get older, continues to just be awesome. And now it gets fun because Gleyber Torres started out really good. He's been ice cold. Nico Horner's really hasn't done much, period. He's not running. He's not doing anything. Because we talked about even the preseason, we weren't really big Nico fans because not a ton of power. He's going to hit for average and hopefully steal a ton of bases. He's not stealing. So that really puts things in a bind. Andrés Giménez, he's quieting down. So still being 15th is good, but he's been on he's almost to a platoon situation with Cleveland. So this next grouping is very tough.
Yeah, and it's and much different than other positions that we've seen. Like, we'll get to shortstop, how chalk that has been. I think first base or third base that we talked about on Tuesday, and catcher, it was like, if you went early at that position, like, in general, you're happy with that decision. Second base, it has not been, just for all those names, Bubba, that you mentioned. And really, for some of these guys, like Gleyber Torres, I in terms of rest of season, like, for a while there, I was blaming the struggles from Torres on kind of getting hit in the hand. Michael Cecchini in our chat kind of brought that up a month or two ago. Yep. But I think, I don't know, he's starting to lose faith of Aaron Boone. Like, I think there's other stuff going on there. And I don't really see how we could have saw this coming. Like, Gleyber Torres was one of the most consistent, like, 25-10 players that had out there. And I don't know. You cannot predict ball, man.
You cannot. Hao Sung Kim's I'm surprised he's actually 11th, because it's my thing I say with the Padres. Like, I tell you every time, like, I look at their team numbers, their team was a really good offense. They just seem like no one's really jumping off the page. They're just kind of all doing it. Cronenworth rates high, like you said. Kim, Machado rated high. Like, they're all producing and just doesn't feel like they are. Then they got Xander at 51. He's been hurt, but coming back maybe on Friday. So keep that in mind, folks. That's pretty wild. From out for the season to returning before the All-Star break. Baseball's fun. And then you got Bryson Stott. Started out really slow, hit really good, slowing down again. He's one that I have a couple shares of, because I bought in as the draft season went on for his ADP and what he could produce. Not getting that production.
For Stott?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's all, I mean, the production that Stott has put together is all stolen base driven. Like, the batting average is down 40 points from last year. That's pretty much all BABIP. The strikeout rate has remained, but there's been no power there. 6 home runs just off of only 9 barrels and a 27% hard hit rate. Like, Bryson Stott has taken a step back, but it's all buoyed by, like, if Bryson Stott didn't have 21 stolen bases, this would be a real, real ugly line. So,
yep, I'm with you there. And then we got a few more here. We have Ketel Marte, you mentioned, second overall. He's just been sneaky good this year. And then we have our Zach Geloff, Tyrell Estrada conundrum.
Let's talk a little, because we did a preseason beer bet. This is, you know, I don't win many of these, so when I'm ahead, I like to call this out. I believe our beer bet for Zach Geloff was just that he would return his ADP at the position, and he was hurt. He was hurt for a little bit, but I don't think enough to disqualify it. Zach Geloff, 30th at the position, has been really bad.
I will say, though, over his last 13 games, 277, 2 homers, 3 stolen bases, 10 runs, and 8 RBIs. Still a 41% strikeout rate, which is not good, but he started to hit. He's starting to hit, which is a start, but that strikeout rate is just asking for and a 458 BABIP. So he's running really hot right now. I wouldn't get overly excited, folks. Run the streak while you can, but just be prepared for the crash and burn at one point.
Yep. And I didn't think it'd be this bad for Geloff. I was more, I knew the batting average would sink, and I knew the team context wouldn't be that great. Although the A's, and you make this point, the A's haven't been too bad lately, partly because of Geloff. But for Geloff to drop from a 267 batting average to 208 with a major uptick in strikeouts, I don't know.
It's rough. It's the thing is, though, I'm shocked he's 30th and Thairo Estrada's 26th, because Thairo with the one steal, he's got a little power, but I guess he gets for a better average. So that helps him out a bunch. But Thairo's been a bummer as well. Just came back from the IL, see where that goes, but not great.
Yeah, we've talked about Estrada quite a bit, and I'm just still like, I don't know how this guy only has one steal. Well, yep. And you brought up the Matt Chapman example, who had eight and picked up his ninth, I believe, today.
Yeah, so, he had a combo meal today.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't see back-to-back 20-plus stolen base seasons for Estrada to just have one and really only three attempts. Like, that's wild to me. I don't know what your boys are doing in San Francisco. But yes, Estrada is probably my of a few L's that I have this year. Definitely one of the bigger ones, because you plan for those bags.
Yes.
You plan from a roster construction standpoint. You thought you had 20 to 25 bags in the bank. And so maybe you went a little bit, you know, lesser in early rounds or later on. And this just throws everything off.
It does. It does get you pretty good. It's a stinger. Luis Arraez 16th, Nolan Gorman 19th. Those are a tale of two different ball players right there. But Arraez hitting for average, a little bit of pop, doing his thing with the Padres now. You got Nolan Gorman, who is just hitting home runs everywhere, but kind of platooning still. So that's a messy situation. India has turned it on a lot of late. He's 17th. Like, the way he's played over the last month and a half, if he can continue that, he's a top 10 second baseman by the end of the year. So that could be fun as well. Let me ask you this one. I got this question sent my way earlier today. In a 10-team league, let me emphasize 10-team league, would you drop Luis Arraez for Jonathan India?
I don't know. I mean, probably. Yes. In a points league, yes.
But yeah, do you have anything on those guys? Because they're just quietly top 20 players, which doesn't sound great, but it's better than we think.
Yeah, done it different ways. Like you said, Bubba Arraez is kind of steady batting average. Whereas Nolan Gorman, that's been a roller coaster. Nolan Gorman has been on fire like twice already in the first half, and then had some really low lows as well. The nice thing I'd add about Jonathan India is, especially going forward, the guy has eight steals already. And like that's the thing with Jonathan India is health. And who knows when the next injury for India will come, but at least he's healthy right now. And I think the sign that Jonathan India is running is a really good sign that he is healthy. So could change, 100%. But great sign.
100%. Stephen Crawford in the chat throwing out a Colt Keith has been so hot this past week. Ranked number one hitter in all of baseball on Yahoo the past 7 days.
Oh,
kid's figuring it out. He'll be a top. He's on pace to be like a top 15 second baseman by the end of the season, but he kind of got a late start to the party on this one. So we'll see where he lands. Brandon Drury injured. Jackson Holliday, AAA. Polanco injured and stinks. Then we get to McMahon, who we talked about last week. He's seventh at second base. Rengifo, our boy, eighth at second base. Pretty much what you'd expect from two really good ballplayers.
Absolutely. We have to do mascot Rengifo here in the eighth overall. That's even a little better than I expected from Rengifo. Like, I'll be honest, but to see him at eighth and a top 100 player, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. For how great Rengifo has been, my biggest L in this one is Brandon Drury. And maybe you can blame it on the injury, but like, even when Brandon Drury's been in the lineup, presumably healthy, but maybe not, it's been terrible. It's been terrible. So, and Drury was one, like, I mean, talked about him a little bit on first base, but having that first base, second base eligibility, you thought you had some roster flexibility. Not when they do this.
Yep. It's been brutal. And I don't know, he just came back, so I'll give him a little time to prove himself, but it's been brutal, to say the least. Brandon Lau, always hurt. He's 38th. And Brendan Donovan somehow is 18th. I think that's more of a testament to the position than Brendan Donovan, but it's pretty impressive he snuck in there at 18. So you have Donovan at 18, Nolan Gorman at 19, two Cardinals just kind of chugging along in the back end there.
The other testament to the position is, I'm going to try and pull this up. So we talked on Tuesday about, or at least I was talking about, like, how first base seemed pretty underwhelming to me overall. And it's interesting to see someone who qualifies at both, like what those rankings are. So Jake Cronenworth qualifies at first. Jake Cronenworth is the 11th first baseman, according to the player rater, the number 11 first baseman so far in the first half. And at second base, Jake Cronenworth is sixth. So the same player, the same production, is the number six second baseman and the number 11 first baseman. That pretty much tells it, like, yeah, that's pretty much telling how bad second base is this year.
So it'll be fun when we recap at the end of season. It's like, yeah, it's all green at the top, but just the fact that it's
right, like Marcus Semien's green, and like,
yeah, is it really worth it, or is it just like a position you punt and try to roll the dice type thing, and you know, take advantage of elite other positions at that point? So that'll be a fun discussion point at the end of the season. We'll see where the cookies crumble on this one.
And it definitely doesn't help that a lot of the kind of last year darlings like Nico Hoerner, Andre Ximenes, Ha-Seong Kim's held his own a little bit. Zach Geloff, like those guys have shit the bed this year. And so that does not help the depth of the position whatsoever.
You know what that sounds like, though, is buying opportunities next year. So that'll be fun.
Sure. I mean, especially I still think Nico...
Yes,
he's starting to run more, and you're never going to get power from the guy. But for me, it was the price on Nico. It's like a fifth or sixth round pick. But if that drops down to like ninth or 10th next year, I would be back in.
Should be pretty sweet. You got some breakouts for us at the position?
What do we got here? So we've got Bryce Terang. Did we talk about Terang on?
Nope, he's a second base shortstop.
He's second short. So Bryce Terang is by far the true breakout of the position. 336 ADP, and Bryce Terang is third on the player radar. We got a listener question about Terang, so maybe we'll dive in a little bit deeper on him later on. Jordan Westberg, we talked about 312 ADP. He's fourth at the position. Just talked about Jake Cronenworth, who is sixth. Luis Garcia, yes, quietly. That's a good one. Of the Nationals, yeah, is the 12th second baseman. That's pretty shocking to me. Luis Garcia, drafted 421 overall, is number 12. And then our guy, Slick Willie, all-star Slick Willie Castro, 13th at second base, qualifying pretty much everywhere.
Everywhere. He is the mascot in waiting, potentially, with Willie Castro, the way he's doing things. But there's only one mascot, so we can't go that far on that one. Yeah, we'll talk Terang later, but it's been pretty impressive watching that run. Let's go to the shortstops, and let's have some fun with this one, because this is, like you said, it's chalky, folks. It's very chalky. If you like green, the first 36 picks are all yours, folks. Our 36 picks in the draft, the first 2, 4, 6, 7, pretty good. So why don't you give us a little something on this chart?
Shortstop to me is fascinating. So if you went early shortstop, outside of Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, but again, that's injury.
That's still
those guys, yeah. Like, I don't know. That's just
Turner just hit his sixth home run in July. It's July 11th.
Yeah, and so Trey Turner, right? Yeah. Like, he's number 10 right now in the player radar. If he keeps doing Trey Turner things, we've got a top five, maybe shortstop. God, it's very strong up top. So basically, your top seven shortstops you were happy with. With Bobby Witt, of course, number 3 overall, fully returning ADP. Betts, Turner, you're happier with Turner with Betts out, but like, those were fine picks despite the injury. We talked about Ellie at the third base portion of our last episode. You've got Francisco Lindor, who for a while you were kicking yourself for that pick. I know I was. I took him in our first Bubba in the Bloom Listener League and was like, God, this is awful. Francisco Lindor is the number 4 shortstop halfway through the season. So that's been a hell of a turnaround for him. CJ Abrams, that was one of the more polarizing players in really fantasy at any position, has pretty much, the shape of the production hasn't been what we expected, but like, more power, not as many bags. But CJ Abrams was drafted 35th and is the number 37 and the player rater. So that is, you take that if anytime you want a third round pick and he returns third round value, that's good. And then Gunnar Henderson, who's just unbelievable, number 4 overall, number 2 at the position behind Bobby Witt. So very strong showing if you went early shortstop.
Yeah, in the top 7, you have the top five shortstops for the top 7. The top 3 at the position, you said Witt, Henderson, and De La Cruz. They're top 7 overall in the game, not just at a position.
Yeah,
that says a lot. You have third with Witt, seventh with Cruz, and Gunnar at 4, like you mentioned. So you are getting top half of the first round talents at the shortstop position, which is pretty crazy, because that's always a discussion point in draft season. Like, oh, shortstop's so deep. I got to take an outfielder here, and I'll wait on short. Like, there's always that conversation that goes on. And when we get past Gunnar Henderson in a minute, when we talk about some other guys, waiting on that shortstop hasn't looked so sweet. So again, this is, you know, all hindsight stuff when we start recapping stuff later on. But the shortstop position was huge, and you got like, you got Bobby Witt second. He's got the shortstop. I don't think he's got third anymore anywhere. But Betts second short outfield, like that's that's outstanding. You mentioned Ellie's got second third, so you got some nice flexibility here as well. I agree. I think Turner and Betts, if Betts comes back in a relatively good amount of time, but Turner for sure, I think he'll be top five by the end of the year. So you're going to have probably the top six at the position up here pretty soon. Yeah. It's pretty bonkers, all things considered, when you look at this. But I want to give Francisco Lindor his flowers on this one because you mentioned it. And I'm with you. I have a lot of Frenchie, and it was a rough go early. A lot of people doing the whole Lindor versus Ellie thing, and you know, easy winner, and I don't think it's as easy as people want to, you know, think it is anymore. But you know, only a .249 average, but that's because of the first half of the first half of the season. But 16 homers, 16 steals. The dudes went 30-30 last year. Like, that's very much in play again this year. And I just love the overall skill set over Ellie. Like you've said it before, is Ellie might get you 100 stolen bases, but everything else, does it really matter at a certain point? Where Lindor is going to help you, and that Mets offense is a juggernaut. And it's just like, Lindor's going to be a five-category beast the rest of the season.
Yeah, like, so, I mean, so far in the first half, I'd take Ellie's line over Lindor's. But, yeah, I've made the point a few times is I bet – I'm willing to bet a lot of the stolen bases from Ellie in August and September may not be all that useful to you if you are well ahead in the stolen base category anyway, whereas Francisco Lindor is giving you that more steady all-around type of production and in a great lineup. So I don't know. Interesting to see. And I still like it's close enough. Seventh overall for Ellie, 31 for Lindor, that especially the way Lindor has played the last 6 weeks, like I would not rule out Lindor better production overall than Ellie still over the whole season.
I think he will. The next shortstop's another fun one because you technically could be okay with Corey Seager. You're like 13th overall at the position. He's getting your return of 93rd overall when you took him at pick 36. Right? Same pick as Gunnar Henderson. I bet you a lot of people took Corey Seager.
That's so tough.
Probably over CJ Abrams too, probably at the position. But Seager hitting .269, so that's lower than you want from Seager. But 17 homers is fine. One steal, you don't expect any steals. It's the injuries. That's like the bugaboo more often than not with Corey Seager. He's only played over 100 and over since 2006 or 18. It's been 134 and 150 homers, high as 119 last year. He's got surprisingly does have 80 games this year, but he seems like he leaves a lot with injuries. So he's not playing full games. So that'd be the biggest deterrent for his 13th overall. He'd probably be a top 10 guy if he just stayed in the lineup.
Yeah, that and the batting. I mean, the batting average, You expected more than a .269 batting average out of Corey Seager. Like .269 in a vacuum is good, but this is a guy who hit .327 last year, who hit .306 in 2021. Yes, he hit .245 in 2022. Can't leave that out. But if you took Corey Seager, if you drafted Corey Seager where Seager was going, you knew you weren't going to get any steals at a position where you probably needed to get speed. But you were okay with it because Corey Seager could hit 40 homers and hit over 300. And the batting average, for me at least, plus the lineup not being nearly as good as it was last year, that's kind of a double whammy in terms of average runs and RBI. Like the homers are there. The power is there. Yep. 17 homers, 16% barrel rate, like 39 barrels. That's a ton, dude.
That's outstanding.
But to only be hitting .269 when you don't steal, It's tough to do top 10 at the position when everyone else is when a lot of these other guys are stealing.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. Joe Arrico has entered the chat, folks. It's just time to talk Blue Jays here. He said, we need one of those black sensor bars that they put over nudity on TV to block out Bo Bichette. Good grief. And I wanted to mention this because not just because of the bets we have, but when you talk about getting the value for the pick, third round value, third round, whatever, Bo Bichette, pick 41. In a 15-team league, that's a third rounder. In a 12-team league, that's a fourth rounder. He's returning pick 452, essentially. Over 400. 400. Like, we talk about, you know, losing value on picks. There's not many that'll lose more value than what Bo Bichette did for, especially early picks. As you get past pick 100, you're kind of expecting a lot of volatility. This is an early pick where you expect some goodness, I would say. Dude's hitting .221 on the year, four homers, five steals. of 0.099 ISO. There's no power with Boba Shedd. It's been brutal, and now he's hurt again. So, yeah, 452 overall. That is rough.
And, like, a lot of the value proposition with Bichette was, yeah, you'd expect a much better average than 221, of course, and then, you know, given he hit over 290, Bichette has in each of the previous three seasons. You expected a ton of runs scored from Bo Bichette, right? Because he get, you know, such a great batting average, theoretically a good lineup. He's hitting near the top. Bo Bichette, Bubba, has 29 runs all season. Like, that is terrible. I know we're probably alienating Errico here. He probably already left with that, but 29 runs scored for Bo Bichette. It's been that bad.
Yeah, I mentioned on my Fab show, I dropped Dansby in a bunch of places, and he's actually been better than Bo Bichette. So take that for what it's worth. Not by much, but he has been better than Bo Bichette. I think Bo Bichette's 12-team droppable about now, too, if you haven't done it yet. Like, I think if you're holding on to Bo Bichette right now, it's because, A, you have no replacement, which is probably somebody that can at least produce the what he's producing for you on the waiver wire. And you just see the name, and you're hanging on to the name value. And this is time to probably move on from the name value. So it's there.
Especially if this calf thing is recurring. I know we had a comment earlier in the chat that reportedly it's a different injury, but it's in the same calf, so who the hell knows. Couple of just real quick, Steven and Michael in the chat going back and forth, something we didn't bring up with Seager, probably should, was the, at least I didn't, the hernia injury that Seager had, the surgery, and probably contributed to a slow start there. Seager's been a little bit better of late, so I'm not ruling out like a top eight finish or something for Seager at shortstop.
I have no problem with Corey Seager if he can stay on the field. That's just all he has to do. And that's just and some of it's fluky. Like, he gets hit by a pitch. We've seen a lot of that this year, and he's misses games, a couple games for here and there for that. So it is what it is. But yeah, the talent, undeniable. It's just to stay on the field. Yep. O'Neill Cruz, this is your boy, 19th at the position, 131 overall. He's smoking Bo Bichette, so that bet's pretty much already in the can.
Yeah, that's why he's my boy. Yeah.
What do you got anything on him? Because I'm only saying it because he's your boy. I'll let you have the floor, but like, he's keeps getting banged up too. He's having trouble staying on the field.
Yeah, but dude, the power is so, the tools are so damn good. The power, 37 barrels already for O'Neill Cruz. Like, yeah, you have a big strikeout rate with that, but like, the guy's hitting 247. You hit the ball that hard, you can still strike out a ton and still, I think, have a half decent batting average. What I'd like to see O'Neill Cruz do is run a little bit more.
Well, he's out with a hamstring injury the last couple of days, so that's probably hampering them.
So I'm probably not going to see that, but I don't know. It's been I would say an okay growth year for Cruz, just because we didn't know what we get after missing all of 2023 for the power to rebound like this, like it has, with some of the best like max exit, like the hardest hit balls you will see in the game come from O'Neill Cruz. So I think it's been a pretty successful season for Cruz. The draft price, I think, was just a little bit like folks were dreaming on an Ellie De La Cruz type year. So I thought the draft price was a little bit expensive, which was why I was out. But I don't know. He's better than Bo Bichette, which,
yes,
for my purposes,
it's all that matters.
I get a beer in Arizona because of that. So that's all good.
The biggest bummer in this is like, it's a weird home run derby roster this year. And somehow no O'Neill Cruz or Ellie De La Cruz in that. And those dudes just hit missiles. It
would be fun, yeah.
They just hit missiles. Like, I know they're trying to like probably protect their young players, but come on, man. We already talked to Horner and Kim. Xander is supposed to be back. He's been injured a ton, so I'll give him the leeway here. But let's talk Anthony Volpe. Well, ADP 107, he's 101st overall, 15th at the position. Volpe's a player that, to start the year, if you're on Twitter, which you probably were, Volpe was the best thing out there. Dude was amazing. To say he's hit the skids is, I think, putting it nicely right now, because the month of June, he hit 220 without a home run. That was brutal. So, and he's hitting 125 in July, and he's moved down the order. He's not leading off anymore. So what's your thoughts on what we've seen with Anthony Volpe, who out the gate amazing, struggled a ton?
Example... 9 million, that it's a long season. It's a long season. This guy, I mean, you covered it really well, Bubba, like at how strong he started, and we thought, okay, this is a 22-year-old, it's just going to take off, and we're seeing those struggles now. So when I look under the hood, like still a nice, I still think like the power hasn't been there for Volpe. He's cut down on the strikeouts, kind of like a different approach, really. More contact, but more ground balls and not as much power. So I don't, you know, maybe you take that trade off if you had a better batting average. Volpe's just hitting 249. Or if he was like an elite stolen base guy, still has 15 steals, so could push 30. But I don't know. It's just funny how this constant game of adjustments, you get exciting starts like this from a guy who had plenty of prospect pedigree to now not be great. But who knows? You know, Anthony Volpe has at least shown in the majors that he can be really, really damn good. It's just it's consistency. When does it all click?
Yep. And he's still young. So a lot, there might be a lot of peaks and valleys throughout the season with the guy like Volpe. Michael C. in the chat says, we need a bloom board for the pod bets with updated status advanced beer metrics.
That's a good one, because we could actually do something where we have a board of all the bets, and then like you could do confidence ratings where like
that's the stats updates.
Yeah, you like, I'm so confident you got it. I'll buy you like a Coors Light for this if I'm not confident, but I'll get you a noon or an IPA if IPA for me, a noon for you if you're super confident. I like that idea.
Look at this. Hey, I'm game for anything for the show. So let's have some fun with that. I have nothing else to say on Dansby Swanson unless you do. Thyro Estrada, we talked about. Trevor Story's hurt. So before we get to another green square, anything on those guys?
Has Swanson been – he's been hitting lately.
He hit a home run today. He really hasn't been hitting.
No, he has not. He is. Why am I – I think it's because I have Dansby on my Tout Wars team, and I play him every day, and I'm just trying to will this to happen. No, Dansby Swanson's hitting 161 with two homers, one steal over the last month. Like you said, hit a homer today, but – it's been rough. My big thing, you kind of hit on this earlier, Bubba, is just kind of like a macro level takeaway. We all said shortstop was super deep in draft season, but A, we don't know that.
Yep.
You know, the middle of shortstop here has been really bad. But B, just because a position is deep doesn't mean you shouldn't take one early. And I think I think I fall into that trap sometimes where I say, oh, shortstop's super deep, I'll grab one later. So I take another position and then I go later. And instead of getting CJ Abrams or Francisco Lindor, I take a later shortstop and it's Dansby Swanson. Right. Like just because a position is shallow or deep shouldn't always dictate like when you pass on certain guys. It's ultimately the players you pick that make the difference. Nothing groundbreaking here. But if you fell under that that belief that shortstop was deep and you're going to wait, you probably got burned because you took Estrada. Again, I mean, I'm guilty of this. I just said I took Swanson. That really set you behind the eight ball at shortstop this year, because that top end has been so good and so much better than this middle tier.
Yeah, no, it's pretty simple, like you said, because wherever I have Lindor, then we're doing okay in life. Where I didn't take Lindor, it was the, like you said, the Swansons, the Tyros of the world didn't end up too well. So it was a bummer of a situation there. But let's talk Big Willie. Willie Adames here. He's ADP 177, a seventh at the position right now. It's kind of a resurgence here, hitting 240, 14 homers, 62 RBIs, and 12 stolen bases. He let a lot of us down last year, a lot of us down. This is where I kind of made the comment earlier about buying the dip on players next year. Adames dipped because of the production, and he's rewarding those that stayed strong in the Willy Adames world. Again, young player, still producing, and he's having a very good year and a very good offense.
Yeah, and a lot more contact from Willy Adames. He's made pretty good improvements putting the ball in play. The biggest thing for Willy has been the running game. Big Willy's running.
Yep.
So 12 steals, 12 steals, only had 5 last year, only had 8 the year before. Steals, man, just freaking impossible to predict. Like, how does Willy Adames have 12 steals and Estrada has 1? Like, if you would have said that, you know, just taking out injuries or whatever, like, if you would have said that before the season, you'd be like, that's freaking crazy. But here we are.
And it's like, how does Ezekiel Tovar only have 4 right now? That's pretty wild stuff, too. And he's 21st in the position. Jeremy Peña is 14th. He's kind of had a resurgence this year after a completely abysmal 2023. So anything on Tovar or Peña? Because Tovar, like similar to Volpe, Tovar was really hitting it early on.
Yeah.
308 in May. And it has slowly been cratering back down to earth.
Yeah, and I'm guilty of this. I had this perception that Ezekiel Tovar has been like really good this year because he did have that hot stretch, but was not expecting him to be the 21st overall shortstop. And I'm looking at the metrics, and yeah, like I wish he would run more. He also hasn't been that successful on the base pass though, so. Just four steals for Tovar. If Tovar is not stealing bags, there's not enough power and batting average skill here for Tovar to crack the top 15 at this point. So doesn't help having a terrible lineup around him either.
That does not help. And I'm going to blame the Rockies on that one. I'm just going to blame the Rockies. Doing Rockies things ruined another good talent. That's what we're in dear. Let's talk Zidane Rafaela because he's been a lot of fun this year. Changing positions everywhere. Hot streaks, cold streaks. But as a whole, if you just go like month by month, still produces pretty well. After going 168, 239, and 315 in June, 303 in July, he's got 11 home runs, 11 steals on the year. Been pretty darn productive. He hits at the bottom of the order, which is a bummer, but still a pretty good ball player, super eligible everywhere, 11th at the shortstop position.
Yes, and for a while there, I feel like this is a recent surge. For a while there, it was like, oh, big contract and has not really done that much.
Yep.
But yeah, Rafael over the last month, 344. He's hitting 344 with four homers and three steals. And again, remember, this is an age 23 hitter. So super impressive from Zidane Rafaela, striking out less in season, which you always want to see from a young player. He's got a green light on the base pass. Basically, over a quarter of the time when Rafaela is on first, he is attempting to steal. And enough power there, 17 barrels on those 11 homers. So like, you know, the power metrics in general tend to support Rafaela being a decent power bat, maybe a 20 homer bat, someone who could go 20-20 with a 250 average in an age 23 season. That's pretty damn sweet.
Yep. And then we'll round it off with Zach Detto, who's been really good of late, kind of a slow start, some injuries early on. He's been great. Carlos Correa is the eighth shortstop this year. Like, I think we've always said he's pretty good when healthy, but he's eighth. And then our buddy Rengifo, the mascot's 12th. So he's eighth at second base, 12th at shortstop. Again, second base, everybody. Anything on the final grouping here? You got two Angels right here in the top 20. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Neto at only 18th.
Yeah,
feel like he's been a little bit better than that. Maybe that's just a player rater thing, or maybe it's just my misperception of how good Zach Neto's been, but also another one in a bad lineup hitting low in the order that can't help his runs in RBI, which is kind of those hidden categories.
He's basically Willy Adames without the RBIs,
which makes sense. Well, the Brewers 12 lineup, homers,
14 steals, 251, but he's 20 RBIs short.
Interesting. And that's the difference between the number 7 shortstop and the 18th shortstop.
Yep.
Huh. So a lot of that is Adames hitting somewhat in the middle of a great lineup and Neto hitting at
bottom of the order for the Angels.
Triple-A lineup. So just shocked that Carlos Correa is a top 10 shortstop this year.
That feels like one that we're an IL stint coming up and that'll change, but who knows? Like Correa is, he had the day off today hitting 310. 13 home runs, 50 runs, 47 RBI, 0 stolen bases. Hitting 310, Ryan, on the season. That's pretty good.
That's wild.
We said the Twins, one of the best offenses in baseball. So.
Yep, which certainly helps. Because I think, what's Correa's? Yeah, 50 runs, 47 RBI. That'll work. James in the chat, the Fantrax 5x5 player rater has Zach Neto as the number 12 shortstop this year. So. Compared to 18th for Fangraphs. So it could be just some different calculations under the hood with all these player raters that are out there. I'll throw this back to you, man. Rest of season. So given these four kind of later shortstops that have been good in the green on your bottom right here, rank these guys rest of season. Big Willy Adames, Zidane Rafaela, Carlos Correa, or the mascot? And the mascot. Rank them.
That's good. I'm going to go with I'll go Adames, Rafaela, Rengifo, Correa. I think Adames and Rafaela is still pretty much there.
Like I'm still not confident at all in Correa in the second half.
No,
like at all. So
literally, I'm nervous just for him to walk out onto the dugout steps to get to the field some days. So
yeah.
It's never
this
good.
Is an interesting one from Michael in the chat. 111 runs plus RBI for Willie, 77 for Nito. That's pretty much exactly kind of what we're talking about there. So team context, folks.
I'll say, the thing you lectured me on was Zach Geloff all draft season, team context. There it is in a nutshell right there. Yep. Like, perfect. So yeah, that's interesting stuff, fun stuff there at the middle infield. Very top heavy, especially at shortstop. So something we have to continue to change the game. And one thing you said about the don't take shortstop, it's deep. And one thing that always hits my mind is when the guilds talks about, you just take the best stat line available.
I remember that.
And it's something I know I still have to get better at. I've tried to be better, but obviously I don't have enough of, like, that's one reason why I did take Lindor when I took him, but I didn't take Turner, didn't take Witt, like stuff like that. I have one Witt. I took J-Rod over Witt. That feels freaking awesome. So yeah, things like that.
Yep. And I don't know, like I said before, positions that you think are deep may or may not be deep, because we don't know how this goes. It's just wild to me how bad the middle tier of shortstop has been so far this year. Like, there is not one single hit from Bo Bichette at ADP 41 through Thyro Estrada.
Yeah, nothing till 177 with Willy Adames.
Yeah. Yep. You could say Anthony Volpe.
Yeah, maybe 15th's not bad. Kim at 16th's not bad, but
not bad. But like that crew in general has either been a complete bust or you're not happy with the pick, which just sticks out. We'll see how much that changes when we do the same exercise in the offseason after the season.
Yep, sticks out a ton. All right, we'll come back with you guys on Tuesday to do the outfield and maybe some pitching. We'll see where things go. As things go on, I might say pitching for another later date, but if not, outfield for sure, and have some fun with that. But let's talk about CBS most added over the last week or whatever we're going with there, and give us a little idea heading into the, again, three games for most teams next week, starting on Friday. No one knows what's going on, like who's pitching. It's all over the board and all subject. If it's already in there, still subject to change. So this is more just speculating on situations like the top added hitter, Reese Hines. We've talked about him, Bloomfield.
We have talked about him. Let me switch this over real quick. There is a team. Milwaukee and Minnesota get two games next week. I don't know why.
But that's the only great team coming out of the All-Star break. Let's give them two games, everybody.
Give them an off day. I don't know. Maybe that's a weird series somewhere.
Manfred.
I don't know. All right. Yeah. All right. Back to regularly scheduled programming. Number one hitter ad is Reese Hines. We talked about him a little bit last episode. I don't want to say the hype around him, but given kind of the cool name, the moonshot home runs, the CBS ad from 1% to 30%, I think Reese Hines is going to be overpriced in Fab this weekend, especially with another homer or two this weekend.
He's hit safely in all four games so far. He's got the two homers, got two stolen bases as well. Like, he's doing a little bit of thing. It's hard to ignore him. He's one of those guys that when I talked about Brooks Lee, like in one league I didn't have a lot of money, so I got him for like $12. I'll throw a Reese Hines bit out there for a few dollars, and if he comes my way, I'll be pumped. And it's a streaming situation because I don't see this lasting all season. But I'm interested, let's put it that way.
Yeah, Joe in the chat says that strikeout rate is kind of disqualifying, and I believe I don't have Hines's page up. I think it was like a 38%.
It's 31% so far this year in the bigs. At AAA, it was 38.4%. Yes.
Yeah. Like that is to strike out that much against Zach Geloff.
That's Zach Geloff esque, everybody.
Yeah, but in AAA, true. I mean, that's so much easier to. That's
the one. Crazy. The one caveat. Dude's 23, so things can change. Usually doesn't change at the big league level. But I hate harping on like Lawrence Butler, but that the strikeout change has been tremendous in the growth from AAA to the bigs over the last couple of years. So we'll see. I think maybe a little more to go for Hines, but we'll see.
Only 12, like the stolen bases could be good, but only had 12. I say only, that's, I guess, not bad. 12 steals and 328 plate appearances. So if Reese Hines runs like crazy, I can, there's a value there, but I don't know. I'm with Joe. I when you have a plate approach that bad, it he will be exposed at some point.
He's no Alejandro Kirk in the strikeout department. That's for sure.
No.
Rowdy Tellez keeps getting added. That's beautiful.
Of Of course. What you saw a tweet? I saw a tweet of yours. Someone had was a manager at a
Rowdy shirt. Was the manager of the Pirates? Oh my God, it was glorious. I think it said Big Sexy, if I remember correctly. And I think let me find this tweet now. You got because like I want to say that was a cutoff shirt too, but maybe not. I don't tweet that much. Where'd it go? That was before our show. It was a regular shirt, and it said Big Sexy, and he said it's glorious, absolutely glorious.
Yeah.
So yeah, that might end up on a show near you at some point in time, folks. Just gonna throw it out there.
Did you know, however, that our next guy, Lennon Sosa, from 3 to 11%, has a higher barrel rate than Rowdy Tellez this year? It's interesting.
Okay.
Just interesting.
It is interesting. I wouldn't have predicted that, but I look at Rowdy Tellez and I'll take my chances on that one. The fun name, and Uncle Ted's not here to enjoy this, is Angel Martinez of the Cleveland Guardians, who's been hitting second daily of late for the Guardians, and on the year hitting .294 with the home run. He's produced a K rate of less than 5%, walk rate of 18% over 43 plate appearances. That's a guy that seems kind of interesting this week around. Like Michael C said, Angel Martinez is the Bizarro Hines. Like that's interesting. That's for sure.
What do you think of his playing time? Because I mean, I like the skills, especially, I mean, hitting .316 at AAA with an awesome K rate in AAA and with non-zero power, 5 homers in 114 plate appearances. But you think the playing time's there for
Martinez? Well, it's weird. Like second base, third base, center field, left field, center field, center field. That's where he's playing all over. Will Brennan did get activated from the IL, played right field on Thursday. So he's got that going for him. I think he's going to play a ton. He's a switch hitter. He's one of their top prospects, which I don't know if that says a lot about Cleveland or not, but I think he's going to get plenty of run if he keeps producing, I guess is the obvious answer, but I think he's going to get a lot of run and hopefully goes for a lot cheaper this week than re-signs.
Yeah. I think he will, but we'll see. We'll see.
Then you got Mayo, you got Meadows to the IL. Like, if you do like Meadows, though, this might be the week on a short week to sneak him through for like a buck. Just got to say that, but he's going to be out for a little while, so you have to be able to stash.
Yeah, agreed. Jacob Wilson is the number, whatever, 8 hitter ad on CBS, up from 9 to 14%. Was listening to the Fantasy Feud podcast today, which I recommend everyone check out, with Sarah Sanchez and Shelly Verstraeten. Shelly made a really good case for Jacob Wilson if and when Wilson gets the call. This is someone who makes a ton of contact, hitting 450 across AA and AAA with a single digit K rate and like 7 homers. So it's kind of like I'm not going to say Jacob Wilson's going to be like Stephen Kwan right out of the gate or anything like that, but it's a Stephen Kwan type of skill set that if Jacob Wilson gets a shot in Oakland and you need batting average, I think that could work quite well for someone who at least to me, it was under the radar. I had never heard of Jacob Wilson before this week.
The tough part is one of the guys down below him that's getting added a ton is Max Schumann, who over like the last 2 weeks hitting .355 with a couple home runs and 5 stolen bases as the everyday shortstop for the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah. And I don't know if Jacob Wilson can play somewhere else or what, but I don't know. It's time.
That's fair. That's fair. Somehow Miguel Vargas is getting added, and that's cute. Leody Taveras is hitting better, I'll say that much. But the guy below Leody Taveras, Matt Wallner, folks, like we have a new member of the shift change.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
And he crushes baseballs. That's why he actually got drafted a lot this year. Got sent to AAA, destroyed baseballs at AAA, finally got the call back. And at a leisurely pace against Chicago, hit 2 home runs off of Jordan Leisure. So that was pretty fun.
And you love those leisure puns, don't you?
It's too easy.
Yeah, Matt Wallner is now officially part of the Wallner, Larnett, Kepler line when the Twins face righties. Will not play against lefties. Will probably strike out a good bit. But this is someone who a lot of sharp folks were in draft season, like you were just saying, Bubba, and Matt Wallner's back and he's mashing. So I like that ad, but it just know it's a platoon. So you're gonna have to play the matchups with it.
It's a week to week thing.
Yep.
Strictly yep. week to week. Michael C in the chat, because he mentioned Wilson earlier in the show. He says Wilson can play third base as well.
Okay.
So I like that would be an option for sure in that scenario. You got John Singleton. I'm still not there. Masataka Yoshida. He went deep again. He's actually swinging it really well right now since coming off the IL. Should probably be rostered in way more than 49% of leagues. Lars Nootbaar just returned from the IL. That's a big one as well. Anybody else down here? Like I added a bunch of James Outman this past week. I just know it's a stupid platoon, but I like the upside there.
Yeah, Yoshida, marginal. Hitting .232 over the last month. Like until the batting average comes back. That's a tough ad. Nootbaar's probably, I don't know what his roster rate is in like 12 teamers on the NFBC, but Nootbaar, I think, has the best skills of anyone, all around skills that we've talked about on the CBS ads list. So really like Nootbaar if he's available to grab. The rest of these guys, Outman. So you were in on Outman?
Yeah, I added a lot of Outman. I originally wanted Parker Meadows, but then that changed.
Yes.
So, A lot of Outman just because what he was doing at AAA was very, very good. We saw him go up and down last year and finish still 2020. Andy Páez is starting to struggle. Outman's up for Hayward, who was a platoon, but let's be real. Like, let's play Outman over Hayward, people. This is silly. So we'll see. I wanted to take the chance on Outman because he's one of those, they're streaming outfielders, and then there's an Outman who, if he plays enough, we could get another 2020 type producer for the second half of the season, which I'm a fan of. So.
I put James Outman on my speculator all second half team at Baseball HQ last week. So I concur. Just the playing time's got to be there.
I will say real quick about Yoshida, who went deep on Thursday, but before Thursday's game, over his last 2 weeks, hitting .313 with a home run and 8 RBIs.
Okay. Can dig it. Maybe things are turning around. It's funny, James in the chat grabbed Meadows everywhere, and then his hammy went splat. I remember we were texting because we're both in town.
You saved me. You saved me.
I texted you that he was hurt in the first place, and you were like, didn't even know. But then we compared bids in town. You were going to go 188, I think.
Yeah, you would have beat me.
And I was at 212 for Parker Meadows. And Tout Wars is a little different, unlimited IL. So, like, James Wood.
There's no one available.
There's no one available. Like, James Wood and Brooks Lee were both taken. So we were ready to spend big time on Parker Meadows, but oh well.
Yeah, no, I had, like, for, like, my OCs, I had Meadows around $26. I had Altman for, like, $24. I had them right next to each other. So I literally just erased all my Parker Meadows. Then we went the Altman route on that one, so... That's my thought process on that one. Nolan Shanwell, we know my thoughts. I think we should know my thoughts by now. If there's a lot of righties, if you need batting average, I'm a fan. I picked him up in a few places this last week. Rendon's back. Our boy Jesus Sanchez still there. Went deep again this week. Like, he's good for at least one or two home runs a week, folks. Just keep that in mind.
Yep. Way low CBS ownership, 10%. Yeah. Spencer Horwitz is one I wanted to bring up too. Just a small uptick in roster rate from 25 to 27%. And I keep saying Spencer Horwitz is like a empty batting average guy, and he keeps like proving me wrong on that. Yeah. He only has 3 homers, but the hard contact has been there.
He's an empty batting average guy. You can say you're right on that one.
We'll see. He's hitting for power so far.
Since July 1st, 323 average, 1 homer, 1 run, 3 RBIs.
Yeah, it's so, 1 homer in every 10 days. That works.
Yeah, that's what you need. That works. It's not bad for a middle infielder probably. So we saw how bad second base is. We saw how bad it is. So
exactly.
You might be right.
He's hitting second for the Jays. He's basically taking your boy Bo Bichette's spot.
Yep.
And not playing against lefties, so it's another one you're going to have to do matchups with Horwitz.
Seems like that's about 80% of baseball these days, which is much fun.
I know.
It used to be pretty steady and not anymore.
What's your take on, we have a question in the chat on Ernie Clement.
I was wondering if someone's going to bring him up because he went deep twice against the Giants this week.
That's right. That's right. And I keep poo-pooing Ernie Clement because he's Ernie Clement. Like couldn't play for Cleveland when Cleveland was...
Name value alone is pretty rough.
Right. Like, and he's 28, but he does have, I mean, it seems like he's the third baseman for now in Toronto. hitting 261 with six homers, but like that makes a ton of contact.
And Juni at 318 with one homer and one steal. So if you want one homer and one steal for the month, it's he's basically Spencer Horwitz.
I was just gonna say, who would you rather have, Clement or Horwitz?
Let me see one. Let me click one button here and find out.
I lean Horwitz.
I'll take Horwitz plays more. It feels like I'll take Horwitz
and hits higher in the lineup. Yeah, in Toronto.
But, I'll take Horwitz, yeah. But pretty similar players actually. That's a perfect platoon partner if they work it out that way.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
Yeah, so that's where I would go with that one. You ready to hit some pitchers here?
Josh Palacios, real quick shout out. Playing right field pretty much every day for Pittsburgh, and I think has a pair of homers already. Yeah, a pair of homers. Hasn't struck out in 23 plate appearances. Has two barrels with those two homers. Like, you never know in deep leagues. Josh Palacios is interesting.
Yep, the Fighting Palacios are back in action in baseball. So it's great to see there. Let's go to the pitching side of things. The top added pitcher was Jose Quintana. He had a two-step this week, but I want to highlight Jose Quintana. 7 shutout with 5 Ks against Washington earlier this week. And if you want to get really deep into the woods, which I have to do for certain things that I cover, so just for fun, since May 16th, he's made 10 starts. 3 earned runs or less in all 10 starts from Jose Quintana. It's been 5 or more innings in 8 of those starts, but 43 Ks and 55 innings pitched. Like, I'll give him his credit where it's due. It's still a 4.27 ERA, or Sierra, I mean. 12.4%. But I'm just saying, like, in a 15-team league, we talk about streaming like 2-start guys. It's not as much of an automatic, not a chance type guy anymore. Like, he's actually been very serviceable. In a 15 and 12, it's like we just talked about with Horwitz and Clement, it's almost empty stats. Where in a 15, it's very serviceable.
I'll agree that Quintana has been serviceable. Actually, he has been awesome.
Yep.
I look at the skills and I don't see how this lasts going forward. Like, a single digit K to walk, does not miss any bats, doesn't really even throw strikes, 40% ball rate, throws 91. Like, I think this is you are playing with house money with Jose Quintana at this point, and playing with fire.
Speaking of fire, do you see Colin Ray got lit up finally? God, that was beautiful. Pittsburgh got to him.
That's right.
It was beautiful.
I don't think it was like horrible, but it was.
I think you have 7 or 8 runs.
Well, you know, my standards for being lit up. I'm a Pablo Lopez guy, so my standards.
Fair enough. If you're a Bobby Miller guy, you think Colin Ray's still doing just
fine. Yeah, so. There was one night this week where it was just total death for starting pitchers. They got Ben Lively gave up 6 or 7 with like a 6
that was yesterday.
Lead.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've had plenty of 8 and 9 earned run starts this year.
Let's talk Yelber Diaz. Yelber Diaz came up, made his MLB debut, 6 innings, 1 earned, 5 Ks against the Atlanta Braves. Again, not your normal Atlanta Braves, but in the minors, he pitched. He made 4 starts at AAA, 11 starts at AA, combined for a 4.03 ERA, but 105 Ks and 76 innings pitched. Like, the dude's got some lights out stuff. He could be interesting because they said Montgomery is at least 2 more weeks away. We know Erod's still out and some other situations. Like, Yelber might get a few more starts here,
which automatically, given how I think, given how he looked in the debut against Atlanta, I know Atlanta's not Atlanta, but like, I think a few more starts out of Yelber Diaz. And then after that, you never know. I mean, there'll be another injury or Montgomery. It's more than 2 weeks. I like Yelber Diaz absolutely in 15 teamers. The ability to miss bats and rack up Ks there is pretty sweet, with a walk rate that has improved as Diaz has progressed in the minors. It was a 14% walk rate last year in Double A, which was terrible, down to 12, then 10, 12 in Double A this year, then 10 in Triple A this year. So, showing a little bit of improvement with the control, and then you pair that with the strikeout upside for Yelber Diaz. Take a shot.
It's been impressive. And one thing I'll mention, though, because like, we're talking Yelber Diaz, there's a good chance the D-backs start with the top 3 in the rotation. He doesn't pitch next week. So when you're doing your fab, is what I'm trying to say, is you can maybe slide these guys that will be potential two steps the following week if for cheap, because you're going to have to make your fab bids, unfortunately, in most leagues Sunday. Now, like Tout Wars isn't until, I think, Wednesday or Thursday, and some other leagues might adjust. If they do, kudos. That's how it should be. But in, let's say, in the PC format, it is what it is. So a lot of guys will pick up either the relievers just to get innings this weekend, or you could speculate on guys the following week for a lot cheaper. That would be like a Yelber Diaz type. So just throwing that out there. We're going to talk about some guys that might not even pitch next weekend. That's the fun part about this.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and they won't if they're not in the top three, like you said, of their team.
And there's your boy Andrew Heaney. I gave you your props. I texted you the other night laughing, going, I just wrote him up for three articles in one night. And I picked him up a few places last week. Dude's been great, dude. I actually wrote him up again for tonight, for tomorrow's matchups article. So he's the Astros tomorrow too. So that'd be a fun one. That'd be a fun one.
Yeah, and since we last talked, since that Baltimore outing, it was Tampa Bay, five innings, seven Ks. It was good. So it'll Heaney at some point, but for now, did he have a good matchup rating at HQ?
It was better than I expected. I don't have it up right now, but for still facing the Astros, team that doesn't strike out a ton, he still had a pretty it was like a minus 1.3 win weight rating, but his overall stuff was good. Like his whip was like a 1.4, which is like really good for, especially for Heaney of all people. So like he could be in line for another five or six good innings, just not the dub. So I'll take it with Heaney. Drew Thorpe's a beast. He should be added everywhere. Like we've talked about that enough. Polante was a double dip. Luis Ortiz is one we mentioned the other day, talking about the injuries to Jared Jones and company. I think Luis Ortiz is a fun one to target. Like, I'd have him over Yelber Diaz, honestly.
And that's what we have in the chat too, with Michael saying I'd go Ortiz over Yelber Diaz. I like Luis Ortiz. Be careful of this. Which has one? Happened. This has happened to an unnamed Bloomfield family member that may listen to the podcast. Picked up
Ortiz.
There's like a reliever, Luis Ortiz, that plays for Philly. So you even see the like team abbreviation, PHIPIT. It's pretty close. So yes, in Fab, be very careful which Luis Ortiz you're adding. But in all seriousness, I do. Yeah, I like Luis Ortiz quite a bit. Give him a few turns in Pittsburgh and see what happens. I'd prioritize Luis Ortiz over Yelber Diaz as well.
The next few guys, I'm not really in on this Roblasky guy from the Dodgers, Albert Suarez, Mikolas, Jimmy Garcia should be back soon. We talked about that. Do you want to talk about Joey Estes?
No, man. Freaking not at all. Because that's the dude I was trying to think about when I said I had someone who gave up eight earned. And it was freaking Joey Estes, because Tyler Glasnow went on the IL and I'm quote unquote on top of things. So I bench Glass now and put in Joey Estes, who gives up eight. That's where I say whoever the hell you were talking about, five or six runs, I'm like, that's not bad, man.
Colin Ray, baby.
Colin Ray. Right.
A fun one to talk about because of the struggles in the Detroit Tigers rotation is Kyder Montero. He made his MLB debut earlier this year. First couple starts, a little sketchy, Pittsburgh and Philly. Last two, though, at Minnesota and against Cleveland. So he's faced some tough matchups. He's gone 6 1/3 in his last two in each start, two earned runs total, four Ks in both starts. He's another one of those guys that might be able to maybe still more 15 team, but definitely worth a stream in 12s based on the matchup.
And that's agreed. It's a 7D rating for Baseball HQ subscribers. So that's like a number four, number five starter overall. However, in the HQ write-up, Bubba, we have pronunciation. It is pronounced K-Dare, which rhymes with daycare. So
interesting. Never would have guessed that one. As people know my pronunciations, there goes another rating and review down the drain.
We're just trying to get another four-star review.
Hey, last night I got it written down here because I write down things. You make fun of me for this, but the starter for the Angels on Thursday night, the rookie, Kohanowitz.
I saw his name in the box score. I was like, hell, I have no. It's pronounced?
I went to B-Ref and I looked at Kohanowitz. Kohanowitz.
All right.
That's wild stuff there, but that's the extra
why
work.
Why were you looking up for first pitch? For first pitch pod?
What about? Oh, yeah. I had to do it
for why first were you pitch looking up his name?
Because he got called up to make his MLB debut.
Yeah.
That's what we do. This is what I get to do late at night for everybody. Yes.
Every night. Yep. What about your guy?
Yes, it is.
What about Alex Cobb?
Cobb and Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray might actually be back like the first full week after the All-Star break. Both of them are starting a game, another game in San Jose this weekend. And they both could be back on the next time through, or Cobb might need a second start. But it looks like Ray, if all goes well here, Ray's back. So I'm good with both of them. You got Jeffrey Springs should be back very soon as well. He's another guy. There's a ton of people. Tyler Mahle. Kershaw's rehabbing. If you're looking at relievers, Bednar, but he should be taken. There's a ton of dudes getting ready to start ramping things up and coming back here pretty soon. So another good week for that, like Michael said, is if they're available, go start stashing now. It's not the worst thing you can do.
Stash those starters. And if you want, you know, if you want something to do over the All-Star break or whatever, there's going to be trades with closers. So if you want to take a look at who's the most likely to be dealt and who that plan B guy might be, this is a decent time with kind of a partial week coming up where a stash doesn't hurt you as much as having a roster spot over a full week of games. So
Worst, maybe you get two appearances over the weekend and drop them or something. So there's
right
lots you could do there. Yeah, Robbie Ray's right here. He's up to 45% roster. That's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive stuff there. Let me pull up this guy's player page to make sure that Hunter Biggie of the Cubs got called up. And big prospect for them, but he's pitching out of the bullpen right now. So that's the only bummer in that situation.
Yeah. Jeff Erickson already made the Biggie Tupac joke on on Sunday night, as I would expect.
Yep. There's a reason why Jeff and I get along so well. It's very simple stuff, but the rest of the names here, like Puck was a speculation. Beeks is closing. Chad Green won't be closing much longer. Ryan Walker he's getting some opener roles for the Giants. He actually is like a bulk reliever that he'll vulture some wins for you, but overall. But Kyle Freeland, this is another one I had to discuss on the First Pitch podcast, and I was baffled by how good he's been. So Kyle Freeland returned from the IL on June 23rd. And Kyle Freeland just went into Great American Small Park last night and threw 6 2/3, 2 runs, 9 Ks. He's made four starts since returning from the IL. He's got at least 6 innings in all four, 2 earned runs or less in all four, with 21 Ks and 26 1/3 innings with only 5 walks. Kyle Freeland's been really good, better than Jose Quintana good right now. And it's one of those, I try to tell myself, the bias of the Rockies thing, but when Freeland's been healthy, he's even pitched well in Coors. He's been one of the few guys that can be serviceable, at least. And he's been dang good so far.
And he was, really good for a year. Mm-hmm.
He was one of the few guys. He was an all-star.
That was 2018. God.
It was that long ago?
It was that long ago. Every other ERA has been north of 4. But Kyle Freeland in 2018 won 17 games and had a 2.85 ERA. I didn't know it was...
He's had his hot streaks every year, and then he gets hurt. He's been hurt a lot. But right now, he's pitching well. And another one of those things, look at the schedule. If Coors isn't as dangerous as it was, if it's a decent matchup, he can't run from that one anymore.
No, that's a good call. I still don't really believe in Kyle Freeland, but I look at the name and immediately cross him off and did not realize that, you are correct, has pitched quite well recently.
That's I was shocked. That's where, as much as I make fun of having to stay up to do certain things, that's the kind of stuff that actually paid off. Okay, we're learning something. This is good. Again, he'll get blown up from time to time, but so will Quintana. So will most streamers. That's the life of streaming. So at least Freeland will get you strikeouts. I'll say that much. So that's a plus. Final thoughts on the pitchers or hitters on the board?
We didn't bring up Yuriel Rodriguez, did we?
No, we talked about it. I feel like we talked about him last week.
Yeah, I think so.
But if you got anything else on him, go for it.
No, I'm just surprised. What the hell? He threw. What am I looking at? Just surprised that Rodriguez, who was very inefficient before his back injury, went in Rodriguez's first stint with Toronto, did not go more than 4 innings in any start. In 2 starts since returning from the IL, Rodriguez has not only thrown 80 plus pitches, but gone 6 innings plus in both of those starts with 6 Ks and 2 walks in each start. So probably already rostered in 15 teamers, but Yuriel Rodriguez in the right matchup. If he can keep this efficiency going and go 5-6 innings, I like him a lot because we both like the skills a lot.
Yep.
Anyway, it was just the ability to go deeper into games and the concern that Toronto wouldn't let him go 5, but at least that part's been assuaged.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan. And again, it's like I said at the top of the show, he went to 6, 85 pitches. So if he's not efficient, it's going to suck. But if he's more efficient like he was these last two starts, you're going to get some production because strikeouts are there. I picked him up everywhere early in the season. Didn't pick him up this time around because I was worried about the pitching. Here we are. So, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And that's the breakdown of that one.
Gets at Arizona on Friday, and then who knows afterwards. But, yeah, we'll see.
Should be a fun one. All right, got a couple listener questions here before we head on out. Gerald Points on Twitter and a Bubba in the Bloom Listener League participant.
Yep.
Original 56. I have one more DH spot and can start one of the following: Brandon Marsh, Jesus Sanchez, Andy Páez, Nolan Jones, Jake Berger, Rowdy Tellez. I'm at the bottom of the standings and stolen bases. He said also Lawrence Butler is on the wire, but I have to pick one of those guys to drop. So what are your thoughts? How to start Rowdy Tellez.
There was a lot of info there. And I know you'd go Rowdy. I think I'd go Jesus Sanchez.
Yeah. Though I guess it depends on the matchups. If it's a bunch of, well, who has more right-handed pitchers they're facing?
Yeah.
There's your answer.
And the other thing with that is Gerald says he's last in stolen bases. But what does that mean? Like, does that mean you're so far in last you want to punt it, or you're last you want to try and prioritize and get back? So
it's an 8x8. It's an 8x8 keeper league.
Oh my God. 8x8. That's intense.
So I would honestly, if it's 8x8 keeper, I would like think about dropping Brandon Marsh and adding Lawrence Butler. Could throw that out there if it's a keeper league. Butler's 24. Might have more under the tank than Brandon Marsh, but just my 2 cents on that. Yeah, I'd start Tellez. Ryan would start Jesus Sanchez. Joe G, he's got the Spencer Horwitz question for us. He says, Spencer Horwitz or Nick Gonzalez is a bench bat in Daily Roto. You can also add JP Crawford to the mix. So Horwitz, Gonzalez, Crawford as a bench bat.
We'll go Gonzalez.
Gonzalez is slumping a ton, but I could see it. Crawford had a big night on Thursday, but overall, I like Nick Gonzalez as well. With you on that. Sarah Sanchez just wanted to say Sedane Rafaela is a dude. That is correct.
Confirmed.
BP at futures_bet. Bubba, I asked for your opinion on Bryce Turang in the preseason, and you talked me into keeping him in an NL only league. He looks to be the real deal for the second half and also next year. Do you guys agree? Do we agree he's going to continue to produce?
I do. I think the playing time's there against lefties. Yep. I think that he will run. Turang will run as often as possible. I don't know about the power, but power really hasn't been there this year either. So, like, I think he can keep something like this up.
Yep, I'm with you. I think the running will be there all day. As long as he's getting those at-bats at the top of the order, I think he'll get tons of runs and much more. I'm with you on that. Big John Stud, John Legesa says, more likely to bounce back in the second half, Bobby Miller or Carlos Rodon? Whew.
It's a good question.
Whew.
I'll say Rodon.
I'm going to go Rodon too. I have not a lot of confidence in Bobby Miller at the moment.
Right. Like it's like I have moderate confidence in Rodon and zero in Bobby Miller. I mean, Rodon over the last month, like an 80% K to walk. I mean, that's actually pretty good. So yep. I don't know.
Rodon's been quite serviceable.
Yeah.
He's been quite serviceable. So
yeah,
I'd lean that direction as well. Steve Brun says a lot of Tovar and Pena, but also had a lot of story. So Brun is having some struggles at the short.
Tough year for
Tovar and Pena have been horrible. So, but yeah, not ideal to say the least. But I'll do it, Ryan. Another episode in the books. Any final thoughts as we head into the weekend? The last weekend of the first, technically, we've passed the first half, but you know what I mean? First half of the baseball season.
Yeah, that's about all. No, I have no additional thoughts. We'll do outfield. We'll do outfield and some kind of first half recap in terms of teams, either our teams or definitely listener league, maybe our teams on Tuesday, and maybe some pitchers too. We'll see. We'll talk about it.
We'll see where everything goes and have some fun with that. Maybe we'll speculate on potential closers to stash. Who knows? We'll have some fun with this and get you ready for the post All-Star break bonanza. Ryan will be drunk on college football at that point in time. So we'll try to keep him focused on baseball for an hour or so that evening, but it'll be a lot
of fun. We could Twitch stream my college football for an episode.
Do you think that my caveman body knows how to Twitch anything? Let's just be real about this.
Yeah, I don't know how to Twitch either, even if that's even the right sentence for that. So that's showing our age.
just get your Twitch on. But we'll wrap it up there. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Again, we'll be back to you guys next Tuesday as usual. But for now, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intric. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 151. Catch you all next time.